It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and you know we have enough time in today's show for me to share a few thoughts with you, maybe tell you a little tale about creek fishing that goes back about 60 years. Now, those of you that know me know that I grew up in Red River County, up north of Clarksville, actually very close to Pecan Bayo. We called it a bayo. I guess many people would call it a bayou, but it was Pecan Bayo, and it was probably, as the crow flies, probably 500 yards from our little farm up there where my dad raised broiler chickens. And it was a fishing destination. It was chock full of channel catfish back in those days, and I dare say it still is. I haven't fished down there in decades, but Pecan Bayo runs kind of northwest to southeast through Red River County. Well, we would set what we call set poles in Pecan Bayo. We would cut bamboo. There was a little patch of bamboo. We called it cane, but it was bamboo. We'd cut poles that would be about 10 to 12 foot long, rig them with some old string and a one single stout hook and just enough weight to keep the bait down. And I would fish in our little farm pond to catch a bunch of perch. We would use cut bait. That's what we used for bait almost exclusively back then. And as I remember, we'd have probably 15 or 20 poles that we would have rigged. And we would just go down the side of the creek, walk down it, and find likely spots, you know, maybe an area around a little brush or someplace where we could stick the pole down in the mud beside the water and poke it down in there real good and set it out. And then we would usually start running them, a couple hours before dark and catch a few catfish, you know, in the daylight, in the light time. But after the sun set, that's when they really started biting. And we used to go down and catch, I mean, if we had 20 poles, it would not be uncommon to have half of them with catfish on them. About every hour, we'd run, and nothing more exciting to a kid than to walk up down that old creek bank and see that pole bent down toward the water. And back then, we caught some pretty good channel catfish. My 3 or 4 pounders were not uncommon at all, you know. But I thought that would be something to reflect upon. Many of you probably can relate to what I'm talking about. My good buddy Jeff Rice, we do this Sportsman's Life, a little weekly video together, Jeff and I, and he's just a great friend. We've had lots of fun together, but his place up there, his land, is adjacent a creek up there on the upper end of Lake Fork. And for a couple of years, Jeff was telling me, he mentioned that he had someone that had told him about fishing that creek and catching a lot of fish, and he just never really done it. He'd concentrated on the hogs and a lot of work to the place, and he just never fished the creek until a couple of years ago. And Jeff and I and some friends went down there and caught a bunch of white bass. I mean, just hammered them back up in the creek, those deeper holes usually around the bends of the creek is where we caught them. I said, you know, Jeff, the catfishing ought to be really good in this creek. So we started setting, a year ago, we started setting out some set poles. I cut a bunch of bamboo. Actually, it's been a couple of years ago, I guess, but I cut a bunch of bamboo poles. I probably had 15 and rigged them up and with hooks, stout little hooks, you know, that would hold a good catfish. And we started fishing off of a dock. And Jeff's dock was pretty bad repair. It had been there for years. And we caught a bunch of catfish, folks. This, you know, and this really sparked both of us on to say, hey, what a fishing haven with no pressure in it, this creek. These catfish move up and down, as do the sand bass. So we started fishing the creek a lot. Back in the woods, away from anybody, Jeff went down and redid this pier. It goes out from the bank out probably, I don't know, maybe 60 feet, something like that. Pretty good ways out there. And put a fish feeder on it. I had a really good Sweeney fish feeder and started putting feed out once every morning to the catfish. now it's like a fishing mecca there. I mean, the catfish, all kinds of species of fish come in there. And we have started fishing for, instead of going back down the creek like we used to do, we just kind of concentrate right there around that fish feeder, you know, and the deep hole in the creek, and catch a lot of fish of several different species. So, you know, if you're around a creek, it doesn't have to be a creek way back on private property or anything. Just, you know, a lot of road access to creeks. You just have to make sure that you're not, you know, encroaching on somebody's private property. But creeks offer some really, really good catfishing, and at times for species like crappie and white bass. Now, we catch quite a few crappie on when we decide to fish for crappie right there off that dock on live minnows. That water's probably about in the deeper area that you can cast to. It's probably six or seven foot deep, I'm guessing, and bait up with minnows. And we always use floaters because it keeps the bait, the hook up off bottom where you don't hang up so easily. But we catch a lot of different species. One thing I am wanting to do, and this is the time of year to do it, is do some brim fishing down there. There's that should be really good right there off the dock, but there's also some holes in that creek where, oh, there's obstructions that has caused brush piles in the creek, and below those areas where the water is slowed, like a little dam, if you will, but of course the water gets through it, but it does, it's made some deeper holes on the downstream side of those little obstructions. I think that would be an awesome place to dunk some night crawlers or red wigglers this time of year, and probably no telling what kind of brim that you'd catch. Of course, you'd also have to be prepared for catfish. I guarantee you those deeper holes along those log jams would be holding a bunch of catfish too. Right there at the dock, there's a little bend in the creek, and diagonally across that thing is plenty of room to stretch a trot line. That's in the works too. We're planning on anchoring that trot line to a limb or something, or a tree trunk, a little sapling trunk or something on one side of the creek, and stretching it down across. It'll cover some shallow water, the middle of the creek channel, and then some shallow water on the other side. And baiting that thing up with some, we're going to use some cut bait. That should produce a bunch of catfish. Wouldn't it be fun just to hang out, and this is, again, this is something that you can do. I know you can find a spot to do it, even in the lake, not necessarily on the, you know, on the, on a creek, an isolated creek, but stretch a little trot line, say 25 hooks, and have your bait ready. Cut bait stays on pretty well. You have to think about turtles and things like that when you're putting a set pole or a trot line, so a bait that'll hang in there. And, you know, some baits would go pretty quickly, but a cut bait's pretty tough. You can use cut carp or, you know, rough fish, or you could just use, you know, dead minnows. Hook them on your hook. But set that thing out and then, you know, have a little boat there where you can run it, which we do have in this scenario. And about every hour, every 45 minutes, check that trot line, and then, and you know, say stay up till maybe 11 or 12 o'clock and have a fish, a place to put your fish right there, because chances are really good you'll stock up on a bunch of catfish. Folks, I thought it was fun for me to relate to you some of my old-time fishing experiences and the way I fish now. This is not fishing out of an $80,000 bass boat or anything. It's just old-school fishing, but it sure is a lot of fun. Try it sometime, you know. Fish off the bank when you get a chance, and you'll find, like I say, you'll find the fishing is much better during low-light conditions. Middle of the day, you probably won't be catching a lot, but if you stick with it and, say, start running your trot line or your set poles there just before dark, and then stay, have plenty of light so you can see what's going on, lanterns and whatnot, but fish for about 3 hours after dark. I'll bet you'll catch a bunch of catfish. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed our little talk on creek fishing. That is a relaxing way to catch fish. Right now, the hybrid stripers have been biting like crazy at several lakes. One of them is Lake Louisville. I've been visiting with a guide up there. Wes Campbell is his name, and he's been using live bait, live shad, for the hybrids and catching a bunch of nice ones. I didn't asked the weight. I saw the pictures. Looked to be, you know, many of them looked to be around 6 or maybe 7 pounds, good size hybrids, but using live shed. And I'm actually going to interview Wes for an upcoming show. And I was talking to him. I've been an outdoor writer so long that I'm finding myself crossing paths that I'd been on 20, 25 years ago. I asked him about a particular submerged hump up there at Lake Louisville. And I told him, I said, I used to fish with a guy named Eddie Pockras up there 22 years ago. I'm guessing, give or take a year or two. And he says, oh, Pockras Hump? So they've actually nicknamed or named one of the old Eddie Pockras' favorite humps out there, submerged structures, if you will, Pockras Hump. And I thought that was pretty unique. And I told this the guide, Mr. Campbell, I said, well, Wes, you know, I fished that hump 22 years ago with the guy that I guess made it famous. I had no idea at Lake Louisville there was a hump called Pockras Hump. But I guess when you've been an old hook and bullet outdoor rider as long as I have, you know, it's not uncommon to cross paths on places that you've been years and years ago. Sure is neat to reflect back on some of those things, though. But I do plan to get Wes Campbell on with me pretty soon, and it'll be a lot of fun talking about, you know, me fishing those structures that he's catching a ton of fish on right now. So I haven't fished Lake Louisville in a long time, years. But it is right now a hot spot for catching hybrid stripers. I don't know about Tewakinee. I'm not well tuned in on the hybrids out at Tewakinee right now. The catfish, of course, with David Hanson and Tony Pennybaker, buddies of mine, I stay pretty well tuned in on them. But I would assume right now live bait, probably people fishing live bait at Tewakinee on some of those lower lake humps and get out there early. I would imagine you could catch a bunch of them. And, you know, Lake Ray Hubbard, the state record hybrid striper caught by John Haney back in, oh, the late 80s, I think. He was fishing with guy Johnny Procell. But Ray Hubbard used to be the big hybrid lake of the state. Well, the state record came from there. But Hubbard still cranks out some good hybrid fishing. I need to do more hybrid fishing. I bet many of you are in the same boat. Those hybrid stripers pull like bulldogs, and honestly, they are excellent eating. Talk to Bill Carey up on Lake Texoma, talking stripers a little bit, and Bill, is the topwater bite has still been going strong early mornings around these rock walls and shallow shorelines. They've been catching a bunch of good stripers. But the next pattern, which I plan to go up there and fish this next pattern, is when they start making those long runs. Those big schools of stripers will start down at Eisenhower, down at the dam, run for miles and miles. And you just kind of, I nicknamed it leapfrogging years ago. Get your boat positioned, and it might be a lull in action for 15 minutes, and then a big school of stripers will come by. You can catch them on slabs, and you can catch them on topwaters, too. The reason they're there and the reason they make those runs is the shad spawn is big enough now to be out in the open water, and the shad are well dispersed over the lake, and those stripers are in hot pursuit. Folks, I've enjoyed visiting with all of you today. Make sure and visit my radio website. It's catfishradio.org, and join me right back here this time next week. I promise you we'll have some more hunting and fishing talk. Folks, today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Air Force Air Guns, Smoke-N-Tex Electric Smokers, Sitemark, Texas-raised hunting products, Pyramid Air, Striper Express up on Lake Texoma, Mill Creek Ranch Resort at Canton, United Country Texas Landmark Properties, the best of Texas barbecue sauce, and Nielsen Specialty Ammo.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 889 KETR.